Timo Koivurova, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Do you think that the current crisis between Russia, and we can sort of group it together as the West, is going to have reverberations in the Arctic Council?
Well, that's a very, very good and timely question, of course, and a very, very difficult one. I think that, first of all, I think we have to be fairly careful what we now say, because we really don't know what the sanctions regime will be from the European Union part and also especially from the United States. And also we probably haven't yet seen where the conflict will take us. So what I'm going to tell now is really, really related to the situation where we are now. Whether if it stays that way, then I can kind of speculate what would be the consequences for the Arctic Council.
And then even if we don't have a definite sense of that at this point, from your point of view, do you think that just, you know, what Russian actions in the Ukraine, do you think it will change even how people within the Arctic Council or the Arctic community view Russia?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that the Arctic cooperation between the eight Arctic states, so Nordic states, the two North American states, and Russia, which has started already basically from negotiations in 1989 and then continued with the Canadian initiative for the Arctic Council in 1996, it has been fairly well been able to isolate itself from the overall kind of larger geopolitical developments. So you know, we have had the Chechen war, we have had the Russians attacking Georgia, and let's say with that action also two Georgian provinces became kind of semi-independent states, at least claiming to be independent. So overall, the picture has been all over these years that the Arctic has been somehow isolated from these developments, and now we have the Crimean situation, of course, which is very, very serious. But I would say that these factors that the Arctic Council cooperation has been fairly low key, so focused on science, scientific sponsoring of science in general, and also environmental protection and sustainable development projects. So it's not very very kind of geopolitically very sensitive cooperation. So that has been one key issue which has been able, why the Arctic has been able to kind of keep itself out from these larger developments, and also kind of being able to have this bridge between Russia and the, let's say, the West in general.
But now some of the people that, you know, focus on the race to the Arctic discourse a bit more, they're saying, boy, if Russia sees how easy it's been in Crimea, could this embolden Russia when it comes to claiming territory in the Arctic or authority in the Arctic?
I think I would be positioning myself to the camp saying that there hasn't been really a race to resources, especially between states. So there was, at one point in time, there was some kind of company kind of race to the offshore oil and gas. That has now been tempered down, but the continental shelf entitlements, they have been fairly well delineated on the basis of the law of the sea, simply because the Arctic states themselves are the great beneficiaries of those rules. So that's why I think that in the expert circles, my understanding is that's pretty, pretty clear cut. I don't think that the Ukraine events and crisis there would have any clear kind of consequences especially for the continental shelf delineation and demarcation. No, but it is true that if we talk more generally, and we are not talking about the Arctic Council cooperation, which kind of can shield itself from these developments, in my opinion. But overall, this incident, I think it may be a tipping point where the West will say that this is just too much, and that we just don't know as yet. But for instance, the European Union, which is a heavy consumer of oil and gas from Russia, it may start looking into various other sources for energy from these events, because the regime in Russia has now really shown its face. So I think that not exactly the race for resources, because it really is very difficult argument to make that the states would be somehow racing there, because they really benefit from the law of the sea. They can get all the offshore oil and gas as much as they can with the existing rules. But it is more the kind of general atmosphere that can be now really negatively affected by the events in Crimea. And of course, we have to remember that there is no Arctic cooperation without Russia. Russia is geographically half of the Arctic. So it is a very important key player in the region.
Are Norway and Finland in a different position when it comes to this issue? Can what's going on in terms of the sort of international politics, are you seeing any discussions on a local level about how it's affecting sort of northern economies and communities that are quite closely linked?
Yes, I think that, for instance, Finland, with our, you know, being a neighbor to Russia and having very long-standing economic ties, interdependence with Russia, there will be adverse economic consequences also for Finland. Of course, it depends very much on what type of sanctions regime the West will now come up with, what kind of economic consequences that will have on Russia. I'm sure that it will have some. And then with that, it will of course influence, for instance, tourism, which for instance, for Lapland, Russian tourism is a major economic income, and also for other parts of Finland. So that's one kind of very clear, fairly immediate impact to the kind of, let's say, Finnish economy. I would say the same for the Norwegian side. But also, of course, I've seen it locally that those business enterprises thinking, okay, now there is a kind of boom, almost like an economic boom in the Arctic, the northeastern sea route is opening up. There are all kinds of economic opportunities there. Our businesses would like to enter those markets. Of course, this will have an impact whether they dare to go to Russia, really. And not only the economic enterprises, but also, you know, all kinds of, like, research institutions have to think, what is the impact of this? Because it really, I don't think that anybody could have foreseen that type of action from Russia. So it certainly has had an impact.
And, you know, the one last thing I wanted to touch on with you is, you know, as we know, Canada is the current chair of the Arctic Council. There's a meeting of senior Arctic officials next week in Yellowknife. Do you think that this is something that Canada should bring up at this meeting? Or do you think the Arctic Council should, you know, try not to be politicized going ahead?
Well, this is as I said, we can only speculate about this. But I mean, my sense of it would be that the Arctic Council, with its current mode of functioning, mainly a kind of science catalyst, science sponsor, in that kind of specific mode of operation, it can continue. And there's a long-standing, of course, kind of trust building that has gone over the years with that. But then if we talk about, for instance, one of the themes for the Canadian chair period is really the strengthening of the Arctic Council, which has been now ongoing for a few years. And I think that will be stalled. There has been two agreements negotiated, and Russia has been very heavily involved in those, such a rescue agreement and oil spills agreement. There is a new permanent secretariat for the Arctic Council. All of that strengthening will become much, much more difficult with this, I think, for the time being, at the very least. I think that for Canada, the main thing would be to just go on with the kind of slogan that they are, that Canada is really trying to work for the people of the North. You know, focus on the business corporation, focus on the traditional knowledge of Indigenous peoples, the local regional issues, really. Now when the kind of larger geopolitical games are really being played out.
Well, Tima Koivurova, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you very much.